Daniel chapter 8, I'll begin reading in verse number 13. You'll remember we left off here, we preached verses 1 through 11, 1 through 12, and as the vision came to Daniel. Then now we're going to get to the second part of this chapter, which is basically going to go into an interpretation of the vision. And we're going to talk about who gives that and the signification of it. Let's begin reading again their verse in verse 13. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, Unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And it came to pass, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, Understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful, beautiful Sunday morning. Lord, we can gather together and sing praises unto the Most High God. And then, Lord, we can open up this precious book, the holy, inspired, inerrant Word of God. I'm thankful this morning, Lord, that you are going to meet with us and you're going to speak to us. And I'm thankful, Lord, you'll be honored in this service. And so would you have your will and way in our hearts and minds, and we'll be very careful to give you the glory that is due unto your name. I do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this morning's message is this, The Atrocities of Antiochus, Epiphanes, and the Antichrist. The atrocities of Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, as we studied last sermon, last message, we talked about the details of how this second beast would be broken down into the third beast, and we talked about them butting heads and their fight and battle against one another, and what happened as a result of that came the four kingdoms from, we know, Alexander the Great. There in that Grecian army, and from that four kingdoms, and then from four kings, and then from that four kings, we see the little horn that we saw in the first part of this passage. But we're going to see more details about this little horn this morning, and how it relates to us today in the church age, and how we can learn from it and draw from it. You know, Antiochus Epiphanes, who was this leader of the Seleucid army, he was known as the in many commentaries as the Antichrist of the Old Testament, the Antichrist of the Old Testament, because of his atrocities towards the Jewish people and the Israel as a nation. He hated them and despised them. And this chapter is very interesting because it gives prophecy in two different senses. Because Daniel is talking about this army here of that Antiochus led, and this would be several hundred years before that would actually come to place. And he's giving that, and that has come to fruition by our time now, in 2017. Of course, it came to pass, but is yet to come is the Antichrist. He's not showed up on the scene, and praise God, the church, if you're in the church, the body of Christ, you won't be here when he shows up on the scene and reveals himself. And that's something to rejoice in, but it will come to pass. Now, can I just put it like this? The actions of Antiochus that we will read about this morning, the description, is simply a reality. It is a historical event. It is factual, but it is in reality also a foreshadow of the Antichrist to come. He will come, and these descriptions that will go forth, and it very clearly gives a description of He who will come during the tribulation time and the tribulation period. You know, I want us to see, number one here, this dialogue that we see beginning in verse 13. Isn't it interesting here? As Daniel is seeking wisdom and knowledge about this vision, look what happens. In verse 13, a dialogue starts, and it's between two angels. The Word of God uses the word saint, another saint speaking, which spake, and speaking to each other. And we know that we let Scripture interpret Scripture, and that is referring to Gabriel later on. These are angels speaking to each other. And they're asking a question, and it's basically this: how long is this desolation going to continue? This desecration of the sanctuary of the temple, because you'll remember, history tells us very clearly that Antiochus, when he turned against the Jews, he did it with great vengeance. And he did it with great torture. He murdered thousands and thousands of Jews. He forced them, those that would, he forced them to worship his God, the Greek God of Zeus and others. And he would desecrate the temple, and he would actually pour pig's blood across the temple. And he would set up a statue where Moses had put the Ark of the Covenant of God, the holiest of holies place, where that would be. He would actually put an idol in the place of that. And you can only imagine what this did to the hearts of the Jewish people. But that's how much he hated them. That's how much he despised them. And we're going to see here these angels and this vision of Daniel. They're saying, how long can this go on? Now, you'll remember last message. Some of you may remember, may not. I know it's been 4 weeks, but we talked about the permissive will of God. And how God does allow these things. He doesn't cause them. He doesn't force them. But He does allow evil to go forward at certain times. And this most definitely was one of them. But notice the dialogue here. They ask about how long will this go on, the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation. Now again, that's talking about what's happened to the temple. And to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. And listen to verse 14. This is the answer. And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. So we have a question, and then we get an immediate answer. And it is a specific answer. 2,300 days, this nonsense, specifically speaking of Antiochus here, it's going to come to a stop. But you'll have to endure until the end, until that point. But he's saying that's how long it's going to last. And you know what? History tells us that's exactly how long it lasted. The Word of God, listen, the Word of God is always accurate. History, we can look through history, especially through the book of Daniel, and see these instances take place. And history is a witness to the truth of the Word of God. Prophecy that is fulfilled and certainly did. Now, you have had certain religious groups that have abused portions of Scripture like this. You have certain ones that the Seventh-day Adventist group back in the mid-1800s, there was a couple of their leaders that said, you know what, we're going to let these days speak of years. Days, years comparison. And what they did is they tried to nail down a date that in 1844, and they tried to pretend that the earth, the globe, was the sanctuary that this scripture speaks of. They said that's speaking of the earth. And in 1844, according, if we do the years, according to 2300 years, that's when Jesus is going to come back and cleanse this earth. Well, I don't think there's been much cleansing going on. Would you say? No, there hasn't been. It was an embarrassment to that group of people, that group of thinking, because they tried to nail down a date. By the way, anybody, and I say this again, anybody that tries to nail down a specific date of the Lord's coming, you better have your spiritual flags flying everywhere. Alert, alert, alert. Listen, We don't know the day when Jesus comes. We believe it to be soon. And we believe that it could be today. And that is correct. You have to live that way. The Scripture tells us to live in anticipation, looking for the blessed hope, the Word of God says. But I'm here to tell you, dear friends, be very cautious of someone, even by the name of Christian, tries to nail down a date of the coming of the Lord Jesus. Don't let them do that. Be cautious. Be careful. But we see here that this is speaking of literal 24-hour days. 2,300 days, just like the Scripture says, okay? And that's what happened, because if you look at history, Antiochus began his atrocities toward the Jewish people about 171 B.C. So if you do your calculations, it went about 7 years, and then toward the end, when all these things were going on to the Jewish people, unimaginable things were taking place. Nearly up to 7 years, there was a Jewish revolt, which is well documented. A Jewish revolt took place that was also named the Maccabean Revolt. That this man by the name of Mattathias and Judas Maccabeus decided that they would stand against this man called Antiochus. And they said that we're going to stand against this man and his atrocities, and we're not going to go to the temple and worship that statue of Zeus. We're not going to go and do those things. They said, we will defy Antiochus. We will defy his forcing us to do that. And that revolt resulted, after a period of time, it resulted in a restoration and rededication of the temple. Judas, who also had the nickname Hammer, would overtake the Syrian army and overtake Judea again in the sense of restoring the temple in Jerusalem. And he would do that successfully, and that's where we get also the Jewish holiday, Hanukkah, and where we see that they decided that they too would cleanse the temple, rededicate it after being desecrated. And that took place in about 165 B.C., so that's just a little history lesson for you that actually we see fulfilled in our time, and see the accuracy of prophecy in the Word of God. Now, let's go on from this dialogue about what is the question, will it be cleansed? We know the answer. It will be cleansed. And God will hold to His Word. But then secondly, let's look at the details that go here. What happens here is the angel is going to interpret. Now, this angel is Gabriel. Now, Gabriel is a special angel, if you ask me. I'm sure all angels are special, and but I think Gabriel's special because he was the one, of course, that would announce the birth or the pregnancy of John the Baptist, and then, of course, Jesus later on himself, and he would have a role of giving announcement, and we see him here interpreting this dream for Daniel. Look what he says here. I heard a man's voice called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So Gabriel's going to give him understanding. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid. Now, I want to tell you, if I have an angel in my presence, and I know the Bible says we entertain angels unaware, but in this instance, it was an angel that had a heavenly presence to it, had some glory attached to it. And I want to tell you, it could have been very frightening. And if that were to happen, I know I would probably run. But Daniel, in this instance, fell upon his face, and we see here that he fell upon his face, and the angel's going to say, "Understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision." He's going to tell him, in other words, how this will all come to place. Now look at verse 18. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. You know what that basically is saying right there? Daniel fainted. Have you ever witnessed that? It can be kind of scary, actually. Somebody that has been so overtaken by perhaps emotion in their life. Perhaps it was some bad news of a loved one. Perhaps it's something they witnessed with their own eyes. But they got so overwhelmed by the facts that were before them and the facts they knew about, they simply passed out. And I believe that is what happened with Daniel here. When he was thinking of this desolation that was taking place to his people and to his and the blasphemy towards his God and what he was seeing, the man straight up passed out. He fell down. Now, I don't know, Josh Seymour, I don't know if y'all use that stuff anymore, but what's that stuff you break and you put it under their nose and they're all waking up? What is that stuff, brother? Okay, whatever he said. So you people pass out and you break it open and stick it under their nose and they come too. Well, listen, the angel of God, he don't need that stuff. He just needed to touch Daniel. The Bible said he touched him. He touched him and told him, you get up. You can't sleep on my watch. I got some things to tell you, okay? That's what he's telling Daniel. So he says here, he touched me and set me upright. All right? I got something very important to tell you, he's telling Daniel. And verse 19, and he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. Now, what is this in the last end of the indignation? Now, I want to tell you here, this word indignation is speaking in the context of God's indignation toward His chosen people, the nation of Israel. They have rebelled and rebelled and rebelled against God, and He is angry with them. And don't forget, the book of Daniel, what is the theme of the book of Daniel? Judgment. Judgment. What is Daniel? What does the name Daniel mean? God is judge. So we see here the judgment coming upon the people of Israel, and we see here this time of indignation. But the question here and the information is when is some of this judgment going to come to an end? And that's where we see, yes, in history with Antiochus, but we're also going to see the judgment of the nation of Israel come to an end one day when Jesus comes back with His church. That will be at the end of the tribulation. But don't let me get ahead of myself. Until then, we have a time of indignation. But you know, the same time, that's from a Jewish perspective, but you know what we have according to a Gentile? It's the same, it's synonymous with that term, if you've ever heard it, the times of the Gentiles. It's a Bible term, Bible phrase. Times of the Gentiles is that same time of indignation that's going on right here. So he's saying, I'm going to tell you when it's going to end. And he goes on to say this. Look at verse 20. The ram, which thou sawest having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. We preached on that last time. So I'm going to move through this, but just read with me. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, after Alexander the Great fell, there would be four that would come from his from him falling. We talked about that. Four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. They wouldn't be in the power of Alexander the Great. They weren't to that power. They weren't that strong. They were broken up, but they were powerful, but not as powerful as he was. Then verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full. Now, that is an interesting phrase right there. When the transgressors are come to the full. Now, you know who this is speaking of. This is not speaking of these Gentile kingdoms. This is speaking of Jews that had rebelled against God, that had been given light and knew of light, but I believe it's speaking of Jewish people here that had simply grown cold toward the true worship of Jehovah. And as a result of that, Antiochus is going to capitalize on their carnality, on their backslidden state. And I want to tell you something, Satan does the same thing today. You say, Brother Brinson, is it possible that a Christian live like a lost man? That's a good question. It strikes up a lot of debates. Well, I believe according to the Word of God, he most certainly can. I do believe that. I believe that one that's saved, been bought by the blood of Christ, and has believed upon the Lord, he can live like a lost man, but I will qualify that statement. He will not live like a lost man with the joy of the Lord. He will be miserable. He will be absolutely in turmoil because I'm telling you right now, this body is called the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit cannot dwell in this temple when there's sin and be happy. The Holy Spirit will be grieved. But that's a little side note. But we see here there was a transgressors had come to full. They basically had come to that place where God said, okay, if y'all are going to rebel towards me like this. I'm going to turn you over to Antichus. And I'm going to let him have a field day with you. I'm going to allow it. The time the transgressors had come full, the Word of God says. And it says here, right after following that, get it. It's not by accident. Right after the transgressors had come to full, it says here, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Now, I believe the historical reference of this is again Antichus, but I believe it is very clearly a foreshadow of the Antichrist. So we see here, as we study this, we have to keep both of them in mind, church. And as we see the descriptions, we see how it's just almost repeated to the T. We see in chapter 7, we study the Antichrist, and then we'll see it in Revelation described as well. Let me just go through these quickly. Look at the details. We see he's fierce. I'm telling you what, he's intimidating. You ever been around somebody that just looks intimidating? Oh my. I remember being down in the Coast Guard when I was in Miami Beach. I can't remember the guy's name, but he was a Hollywood star, and he was huge, and he was ugly. And I mean real ugly, not just a little ugly. He was real ugly. But the thing about I guess it was okay with him because of that ugliness made him millions of dollars. And that's something he wasn't ashamed about, but I can't remember his name, but he was like 7 foot tall, huge muscular dude. And I remember me and my buddy just walking downtown and that guy was happened to be down there at Miami South Beach. He was walking down the boardwalk, and I'm telling you what, you could just, from a distance, you could see when people saw him. He wasn't one of those dudes, you know, most Hollywood stars, you go up and get their autograph, you know, the world, that's the way to look at it. Oh, I gotta have your autograph, whatever. Well, people were actually going out of their way to work around this guy. They were crossing the street, and they were kind of looking. He was intimidating. And I want to tell you what, this guy right here, Antichus, he was fierce and he was intimidating. Just looking at him, he had that look. But not only was he fierce and intimidating, but look at this. The Bible says that he had understanding of dark sentences, the Word of God says. What does that mean? I'll tell you what I think it means, just to sum it up and simplify things. He was a genius. He was so intelligent. This man could figure out any problem or any solution that was at task. He just had the mind for it. And we'll see in a minute where I believe he got that power. But I tell you what, he could just figure it out. And you could only imagine how he could sway the people. And you could only imagine how easy it's going to be for the Antichrist future. How easy it's going to be for him to sway the people. Can you imagine that? Brother Mark, can you imagine how easy it's going to be for that? You think about that. With all the problems we got going on in our society, Brother Ricky, you imagine somebody showing up on the scene on this earth and starts bringing solutions. Hey, we're not seeing any solutions in Congress, are we? Oh, that's just heartbreaking. I've almost just given up on that crowd. And what they're supposed to be accomplishing there, they don't have solutions. They have a lot of mouth and no solutions. And we need to pray for them. But I want to tell you something. This guy's going to have a lot of mouth. And guess what? He's going to back it up with solutions. He's going to bring enemies together. He's going to bring arch enemies together and saying, hey, I know a solution, how y'all can meet in the middle, how y'all can get along. He's going to have great persuasion. He's going to be an orator, and people are just going to flock to this man. Have you ever seen somebody that could bring so many people together? And man, people are just going to be awed by this, and they're going to be convinced. And the Bible says in the future, God's going to send them a strong delusion, the Word of God says. And they're going to be blinded. And they're just going to take hook, line, and sinker. They're going to take it. They're going to take the bait. And they're going to believe it. And that's the characteristic of this man. Boy, he was convincing. The Bible says that he could understand dark sentences. And he shall stand up. He'll be bold. Look what else the Word of God says. In verse 24, look at your Bible. He says, and his power shall be mighty. But get this. But not by his own power. You know where his power is going to come from? It's going to come from Satan. Satan will give him his power. I believe even Antichrist, this guy here, just 170 years before the Lord Jesus was born and was a cruel leader to the Jewish people, I believe this man too was controlled by Satan. He was demon-possessed. There's no doubt in my mind. Hey, listen, I want to tell y'all something. Just as this might be my opinion, but I really believe it. These things I'm seeing on the news these days, I can't imagine it being anything less than demon possession. This fellow up in Pennsylvania that brought these boys in, I know they shouldn't have been buying pot, but that's beside the point of what I'm about to experience, about to tell you. They came to this guy, and just because maybe they didn't have enough money or something, he shoots them with a .22 rifle. These young boys, 18, 19, 20 years old, and then one of them he shoots in the back, and I was running away, then runs over him with a bulldozer. And then he takes their bodies and puts them in a pig roaster and burns them, and then puts them in a 12-foot pit and covers them up. Listen, I want to tell you, that's not normal. That stuff's led by Satan. I believe it. How can a young 18, 19-year-old go into a school filled with kindergartners and kill at least, I believe it was 20 or 21 of them, shoot them right there point blank, not think anything else about it? I want to tell you what I believe that is. I believe that's controlled by Satan. I believe these people do that, and this man was, and so will the Antichrist. We know that from what the Word of God tells us. He receives his authority and power from Satan. But then we see he's mighty in his power. But look what the Word of God says. It says, he shall destroy wonderfully. Now that wonderfully, that term right there, is not used in a good context, I assure you. It's talking about the very fact of how crazy destructive this man will be. Destruction that you couldn't imagine upon these people. And the same will happen with the Antichrist. He will destroy a third of the earth. He will kill and kill and kill and kill and not think anything else about it. He shall destroy wonderfully. And get this. And then what does it say about him? He shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. The holy people there is referring to the Jewish people, God's chosen people in this time of Antichrist, but it's also speaking in the tribulation time. That's what the Antichrist will do. The Jewish people and any of those that will not take the mark, they will be destroyed. And there will be mighty ones destroyed. He shall prosper and practice. And then look in the next one. It says he'll prosper and practice. And then get verse 25. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. You see how convincing this guy's getting? He's getting real convinced here that he's convincing others because he's succeeding. Man, the economy's doing well and things are looking great and prospering. And boy, can you imagine a bunch of hungry American dreamers filled with greed and covetousness? Can you imagine a nation, our nation, getting a leader like this? Making people succeed with their money like you would never even imagine. Things just going great. Oh, our Savior, we're all going to get rich. Boy, you think our nation wouldn't be ready for that? They'd take it hook, line, and sinker. I believe with all my heart. And that's what this man did. He brought success and he showed them what he could achieve and he proved what he could do. But remember, he's empowered by the evil one, Satan. So we see here that he succeeds. And then of course, look at verse 25. It says, it shall prosper in his hand. Look at the next description. And he shall magnify himself in his heart. Okay? He's conceited. Not only does he deceive, but he's conceited in his own self. And he not only that, but look at this. It says he magnified himself in his heart, but get this, and by peace shall destroy many. Now, I don't have time, but I would love to park here just for a little while. I'm not going to. But did you ever look at peace in the context of bringing destruction? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about that peace can be used to destroy? It's what the Word of God says right here. He used peace to destroy. And I believe that peace is being used to destroy even today in our age. Satan does not change his tactics, dear friend. His vessels only change. Because others pass off the scene, he goes to others. But you know, I don't want to go into detail, but boy, there are a lot of things given today to bring people peace. But you know what it's actually doing? It's destroying them. It's destroying people. People say, if I could just get a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that, I'll have peace. I'll be happy. But you watch them for a while. You watch them for a while. You know what that peace in their mind is doing? It's destroying them. It's destroying their body. It's destroying their mind. It's destroying their marriages. It's destroying their homes. It's destroying their jobs. It's destroying them. Oh, in the name of, I need peace. When all reality, no one will find peace outside of Jesus Christ. He's the one that you go for peace. But this man had convinced the world that if you will follow me and if you'll take my bait, I will give you peace. And it was all in a plan to destroy him. Oh God, help us have discernment to know that, hey, you be careful. I use this term, Christian, be careful. I need to be careful on using that term. I got peace about it. Be very careful. I understand that phrase, and I believe it's biblical. I'm not being critical of that phrase, but I'm just warning you, church, and a warning to me, be careful how you use that. Because if it's contrary to the Bible, the Word of God, I want to tell you, you don't have peace about it. You might have peace, but it's not a God peace. But moving on, we see that he deceives people with peace. He destroyed them. And he shall stand up against the prince of princes. That's Almighty God. Antichrist stood up against God. He defiled his temple. And Antichrist will too in the end times. But get this, and I'm coming to an end of the message. Look at that phrase there at the end of verse 25. What does it say, church? But he shall be broken without hand. Good news! This evil, this monstrosity of evil, this man, vile, God's going to bring him to an end. And you notice, don't forget about past things we studied. You remember even chapter 2, how this image would be destroyed, what? A stone with what? Without hands. It's speaking of the divine God Jehovah. It's speaking of the Lord Jesus and His power that He will destroy the wicked one and bring him to justice. We see that He will be broken and without hands. And I want to tell you, that's a reminder to me. It's a reminder of Pastor Brinson Jennings. You will not accomplish anything for God in your own power. None of us will. We will not. We will only accomplish what we can do by the power of God. And the power of God is the one that can bring evil to naught. It can stop evil. It can quench evil. It can destroy evil. The power of God can. And that's why, dear church, we can't get dependent upon ourselves in this work of the Lord. We got to be so dependent upon Him. We'll be falling flat on our face. Look at there, we're broken there. You see, he's broken. You know what the Word of God says about the Antichrist being destroyed? Hold your place and go over to the New Testament with me. 2 Thessalonians. Just go right there past Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians. Colossians and then 2 Thessalonians. Look what it says in chapter 2, verse 8, about this in the context of the Antichrist being broken by God. Look what it says. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. Hey, that's the brokenness that Daniel is referring to. And I want to tell you, that's going to be none other than Jesus Himself. Oh, how wonderful that is. He will be broken. Do you know something interesting about the Word of God? Almost in everywhere in Scripture, Brother Jason, that you look into the Word of God and see the context of the beast, it speaks of His doom. You do it. You study in the Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament, in the context of the Antichrist, the beast. Not only does it speak of His name and what He's going to do, but it speaks of His destruction by God Almighty. And it just shows that God will bring justice upon this one. We see His brokenness. But then thirdly, in closing this morning, is this. I want us to see the determination of Daniel. We see the details of how Antichus and the Antichrist will dominate and then be destroyed. But thirdly, I want us to see the determination of Daniel. Look there back in your Bibles in Daniel chapter 8. We're going to close out this chapter this morning. We see here in Daniel chapter 8, look at the last two verses. You've listened so well this morning. I appreciate your patience. Listen to these last two verses. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. That simply means don't keep it a secret, don't hide it. That simply means preserve it. Preserve this message. And I'm glad he did, amen? Because we have it here on July, what's today's date, the 15th? Or 16th? Thank you, y'all help me out here. Of 2017, we have it. It's been preserved. And look what it says here. It says, for it shall be for many days. That means it's still got time to come. It's still working it out by God Almighty. But then verse 27, I want us to see the determination of Daniel. And I, Daniel, fainted. Now, right, if we stopped right there, I don't know why I would name this point Daniel's determination. determined to faint? No. Look what it says. It says, and I, Daniel, fainted after he got this vision and was even sick certain days. Oh, wow. He was burdened. He was just overwhelmed with what was actually going to take place. But it says here, afterward, I rose up. And get this, and did the king's business. As I studied that, it was a reminder to me from God Almighty that yes, these things are heartbreaking and they're even grieving. They're deep to think about the destruction that will come from the Antichrist. I understand that. And we should be grieved about it. But we should not let it grieve us in a way where we get depressed. But it should grieve us in a way that we get determined. That we get determined, as Daniel did, that even though these terrible things are going to happen in the days to come, let us be determined to be about our Father's business. That's what the Lord Jesus said when they questioned about why'd you hang out behind and get left behind? Why are you hanging, getting us all worried and everything? And the Lord Jesus said, did you not know that I was about my Father's business? And oh God, would you help us? Would you help Crooked Creek Baptist Church? Would you help the body of Christ to be determined in these days to be about our Father's business? Daniel was greatly moved by this, but you know he went on under that Babylonian, that pagan king Belteshazzar, and that crowd who hated Daniel and what he stood for. You know, he was burdened, he was grieved, but praise God, he kept on pressing on for the glory of God. And that is my challenge to you this morning. These things that are written are for us. They're to help us. They're to instruct us and to remind us that we got a job to do. We got a job to do. And it is to announce that Almighty God is the one on the throne and He is the one to be worshipped. And His name is Jesus. And I pray that this morning that we will determine to always go about it in that way, seeking to let people know that there is a God in heaven. Yes, there's coming a day when the Antichrist will come and he will deceive many that have not believed. And in fact, if you're here this morning and you are without Christ, if Christ were to come back today, I'm afraid that you will be sent a strong delusion if you have rejected the gospel where you will not be able to believe. You will believe that Antichrist because he's going to be flashy. He's going to be sharp. He's going to do miracles that you can't deny. I mean, they're going to be visible to the human eye. People are going to see it, man. You can't deny that. Who are these people talking about God and He's coming and all this? Look at this guy. He's right here on earth. He's doing miracles. You're going to take it. But praise God, those that have received the gospel don't have to worry about that. Because when Jesus comes, we're going with Him. Amen? Hey, are you ready? What if He were to come today? Dear friend, are you ready? Let's pray.